our team has been trying to understand why, when you have aerial surveys conducted by governments that then try to extrapolate the numbers of animals that they're seeing and getting very high numbers, when we go and survey on the landscape, that we don't see them. That's not a question we have a robust answer to yet, but it's an answer that we think is really, really important, because we can certainly go and map areas where there are no kangaroos, and yet the methodologies that the governments are using to estimate population sizes ignore all those gaps. One thing that's very clear is that policy worldwide is really suffering from an absence of evidence-based science. And that's not just with kangaroos, but it's whether it's with killing of grizzly bears or coyotes or badgers or anything. What we see is that policy is often being driven by politics. And there's now a very strong push to try and rectify that with good evidence to enable the decision makers to make good decisions.
Because we don't want to wake up one day and realize we have no kangaroos left.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I think having spent the last 20 odd years working with kangaroos, I find them amazing animals. I don't necessarily expect that everybody would think that. Everybody's got their favorite animal. But at the end of the day, there is a resilience in them that as Australians we should admire. And that resilience, even though it's definitely there, we need to be careful that we don't push these species over the edge.
What is our national stance on the culling of kangaroos? Or it's different from state to state?
That's right. Each different state has a different approach to the killing of kangaroos. Kangaroos can be killed as part of a commercial kill, which is where animals are shot and then used, their products are used, either meat or skins, either for human consumption, mostly pet food, and some skins go into the production of shoes or soccer boots or things like that. Then there are animals killed as part of a license to do harm, and that varies by state or by region. And that's where landholders apply for licenses to shoot kangaroos because they believe them to be impacting on some attribute of their property, whether it's a crop or a fence or something like that.
So do we have a general number on the amount of kangaroos that are killed on a year, I guess a rough estimate?
For the commercial kill, the statistics have typically been over the last decade or so around about 3 million animals, but that doesn't include young at foot animals that are killed when their mother is killed or pouch young. So that number could be another 800,000 or so more. There has been a decline in the number of females killed officially as part of that commercial kill, but we don't really have any good statistics on that yet. As far as the number of the killed is licensed to do harm, we really don't know, and then illegal. So the number could be anywhere up to 10 million. Don't know.
So for these people, the farmers essentially, who have these license to kill or these licenses to kill for the kangaroos, why do they get them in the first place?
There's obviously a lot of history to this, and our research team at UTS has spent a fair bit of time looking at not just the ecological impacts and the numbers that are being killed, but also a lot of it's to do with the social context around the colonisation of Australia by Europeans and the acclimatisation processes that were put into place to change the landscape to something more English, I guess. So kangaroos were routinely exterminated, and there were bounties on their heads to eradicate them from areas. And that's why a number of species have gone extinct, and some are in danger today because of that process. Secondly, from a farming point of view, there's been a long held perception that if you're going to be raising sheep and cattle, that to have another grazer in that system will obviously reduce the yield that you can produce. And that is not necessarily going to be a good thing, particularly in times of drought. And so landholders typically don't want to have anything that they may perceive to be competing with sheep and cattle. The good science that we've done, though, shows that situations when that might occur are actually quite few on the ground. We do know that there is some competition when times get tough, typically because stocking rates of sheep and cattle are perhaps a little excessive. So there needs to be space. Is the fundamental answer there.
And they've been, given what you've just explained, framed as pests almost.
Well, that's right. So, and in fact, in the legislation, they used to be described as pests, but that's diminished somewhat. However, you can still get a license to do harm to wildlife on the proviso that those animals are being a pest to your land.
How easy is it for people to get these licenses?
Very easy. So all you have to do is fill out a form. Basically, you just have to tick how many animals that you want to kill, tick the reason that you want to kill them. There is some written obligation around trying non-lethal methods, but it's not enforced. So you don't really have to have tried anything that doesn't include killing.
When it comes to this sort of thing, it almost seems as though people think there's just this exponentially growing number of a certain amount of species. So if they're killing a kangaroo here or there that comes onto their land, is disrupting their grazing or crop growing process, by killing one, it won't do anything. But I think the main thing is to look back and see what's happening to the species entirely. Is that something you consider to be bypassed?
There are certainly misconceptions about what kangaroos do. I mean, you read in the media all the time about kangaroos being in plague proportions, that they grow during drought and that they're highly fecund super breeders that, like rabbits, for example. But this just isn't the case. They're actually incredibly slow breeders. Typically, females only might produce or raise two or three animals in their lifetime. So growth rates are one aspect that tend to be misunderstood in the community. But also this idea that the killing that does occur really isn't influencing populations. And there is some debate about some scientists believe that there are more kangaroos in Australia today than at the time of settlement. And the reasons that they give is that they claim that the opening up of the landscape, creating more pasture, means that there's more food. They also claim that because of the putting in of watering points, so dams and those kinds of water troughs, that has increased kangaroo numbers because they've got access to water. Both of those things are actually incorrect. Kangaroos rarely drink. And there are eastern grey kangaroos, for example, are a woodland species. They have to have trees. They don't occur in pasture, and they don't actually like to be where sheep and cattle are anyway. So there is some debate, and there's a lot of confusion, not only within the science community, but also within the public. And we really need to be focused on what's happening to these iconic, amazing animals. They're so behaviourally intelligent. They have strong matrilineal female societies. They hand down their home ranges to their from mother to daughter. They don't move very much. They like their home. And there's a lot of good things about them in the landscape. They're important for controlling and suppressing fires and just being generally good ecosystem service engineers.
So what would our natural ecosystems look like if kangaroos were completely culled off? What sort of change would that make to our biodiversity?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd rather not contemplate it because I'm hoping it won't happen. There's a lot of emphasis that, for example, our group at UTS is now spending a lot of time thinking about, well, who are the winners in modern ecosystems and how can we restore the balance within those ecosystems so that as humans, we can avoid this interaction, which is about killing, because that tends to be this tool that we use for solving all of our problems, whether it's killing cats or carp or dingoes or kangaroos or camels or horses. Our answer is to kill everything, and that's not good for the animals that we share the land with, but it's also not good for us.